This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day. It's Kelvin Wong, Oanda's senior market analyst in Singapore. Good morning from London. Good afternoon to you, Kelvin.
Good afternoon over here from Asia, and good morning to you, Johnny.
Now, Kelvin, it promises to be a very dramatic week. The UK election on Thursday, July the 4th. We've just had the first round of elections in France, and there are plenty of other things as well. Let's start with this latest vote in the French election. The right wing have done particularly well, Kelvin, and I was surprised to see, despite that, that CAC 40 in early trading this morning was pretty much soaring.
Yes, precisely. So one of the reasons we see a bit of slight recovery in the European benchmark stock indices, even the CAC 40 as well as the German DAX, is due to the fact that the National Rally Party, which is Le Pen's far-right party, yes, they actually won the majority of the projected vote share for the first round of the French legislative parliamentary election that is held yesterday, coming in close to about vote share about 33% to 34%. But however, that doesn't translate her to possibly winning a majority of the seats in the French parliament, because they require to have actually 289 seats. So based on the projected seats and the projected vote share right now, they're only looking at around 230 to 240 seats. So about close to about 40 odd seats that are actually short of the majority. And do not forget that ahead of the current projected results that is released right now based on the tally on Friday, some polls are actually looking at Le Pen's National Rally Party to do much better, gaining a projected vote share of around close to 36 to 37%. So given the current tally right now, they actually fall short about 2% and 3% points below that 36 to 37% expected. So given that right now, there's also some kind of talks that the second ranking a party, which is the far left, which is quite the New Popular Front, gaining about 28% of the vote. Macron's party, the Centralist Alliance, is the worst with 20%. But there's talks that between the far left, which is the New Popular Front party, and Macron's Centralist Alliance party are doing a bit of horse trading to prevent Le Pen's National Far-Right Party from gaining a foothold in the second round of the election. Again, that's going to be held on this coming Sunday, which is the 7th of July. So for France, it's a bit strange. They have two rounds of voting. So that's actually explained to us the short-term spurt up in the CAC 40 and as well as the German DAX. But something we got to be mindful over here is that it seems to us that it's not all rosy yet at this juncture. Why? Because if you look at the credit risk that is still inherent in this potential Pen's significant foothold in the France legislation, the spread between the France 10-year German bond yield against the 10-year Germany bond yield is still rather high. So it's still hovering at 75 basis point, just only down slightly from last Friday close at 0.80%. So that's the current one of 0.75% in terms of spread is still way higher than last Tuesday low of 0.71%. So the market participants is still looking at uncertainty surrounding this France election. So there's no 100% sure thing that Macron's and the second running far left could prevent Le Pen's from gaining a majority in the French parliamentary election in this coming Sunday. So everything is pretty much 50-50 right now. That's to actually explain why to us that the France 10-year sovereign bond spread over the 10-year German bond spread is still at an elevated level at 0.75%.
As you say, it's all up in the air in France, very much 50-50 as to what is actually going to happen. Over here in the UK, though, it's virtually a done deal with the polls right from the start of this election campaign, going back all the way for 6 weeks, predicting a landslide victory for Labour after 14 years of Conservative government. Nobody is predicting any last-minute shocks or surprises. And I would imagine that everything has been priced in by the markets, and that on Thursday night, Friday morning, it'll be business as usual.
Yes, precisely. So it seems to us that almost for certain that there's a high probability that Labour is very likely to actually win over the Conservative in terms of the popular vote as well as a number of majority seats in the House of Commons. So unless there's a real shocking result, as in the majority is could be a rather slim majority by Labour, then potentially we could see a bit of negative knee-jerk reaction for the sterling. So what we could look at over here is the euro sterling rate. So ahead of this France legislative election and as well as the 4th of July UK parliamentary election, the euro has been weakening against the sterling by a fair bit, and they almost came close to almost a two-year low of trading at that 0.8360 level. So that's the €1 against the sterling. And right now we see the euro sterling recovering a fair bit at around 0.8490 or so. But net-net overall, it seems to us that the euro sterling is still hovering below a very weak major downtrend, still trading below its 200-day moving average since the start of this year. So unless we do get a very shocking result coming out either from the France side of the story or let's say for the UK side of the story where Labour came in slightly weaker than expected, that means with a rather slim majority in the UK Parliament, and who knows, Le Pen's. Yes, she may control the France parliament, but without a majority, an absolute majority of 2896, then perhaps we could see a slight recovery in the euro sterling. So I'm watching around the 200-day moving average, which is a key resistance for the euro sterling pair right now that is acting as a critical resistance level at 0.8620.
Okay, let's move away from elections, Kelvin, and talk about the rest of the week to come. Plenty of data around. Top of the pile would no doubt be Friday's non-farm payroll numbers from the United States. We had some better news last Friday after those PCE numbers, the core inflation numbers, which perhaps give more indication of a rate cut in the United States sooner rather than later. And if we do get a good number for US jobs on Friday, when I say a good number, I mean, a number which isn't too high and at expectations or below, then that rate cut is going to come soon.
Yes, precisely. So right now, there's actually, if you look at it over here, is that based on the CME FedWatch 2, as compiled from the data of the Fed Funds Interest Rate Futures, there's actually high odds of more than 60% market expectation for the first interest rate cut in US to come in finally in the September FOMC meeting. And also, there's another high chance, close to about 60% right now, that is the market participants, that means based on the pricing of the Fed Funds Futures interest rate market, is looking for another cut before 2024. And so that will come after the US presidential election in the December FOMC meeting. So all signs are actually pointing to two potential interest rate cuts, or at least one of them, hinging on the fact that, yes, we start to see a clear slowdown in inflationary trend in US, especially last Friday core PCE data for the month of June actually came in with expectation at 2.6% year-on-year. 2 basis points lower than the previous month of 2.8%. And for non-farm payroll for June, this time market is looking at a slightly lower number again at 195K jobs added from 272K jobs added in the month of May. So as long as we continue to see this job data that is in US that is neither too hot or too slacky, that means coming in at slack, that means we're talking about coming in close to about less than 120K jobs added, or 120K jobs added per month, that shouldn't sound the alarm of the US economy going to a kind of a deceleration mode. And also, given the fact that since inflation has started, trend has started to tone down, this also allows the Fed to actually be more forceful in giving the guidance to enact their first interest rate cut policy. And that could also still be positive for the ongoing rally in the US stock market, particularly being led by the mega cap technology stocks that actually leading the fall in US and as well as leading the fall in the rest of the world. But nevertheless, for sure, if we start to see very, very hot US non-farm payroll data. That means we're coming in looking at the figure about close to 290K job added or even 300K jobs added. So that will be the highest amount of job added so far this year. If that number came into realization, that could actually derail the potential Fed rate cut that market is expecting to come in September. And that could actually lead to the Fed to start to be shifting towards more to the cautious side of the story again, which potentially we could start to see kind of a risk of a at least a kind of a multi-week corrective move on the major US stock indices, given the fact that they have rallied quite a fair bit since the start of this year.
Finally, Kelvin, we've got the ISM services figures on Wednesday.
Yes. So right now, for sure, we know that the heart of the US economic growth is driven by the services industry rather than the manufacturing industry, as services sector contribute close to 3/4 of the US economic growth. So the ISM services PMI data will be closely watched in terms of the health of the US economy, because and it's also it's a kind of more forward leading indicator as well based on its survey component. What we could see over here is market participants expecting not too hot or too slack of a growth. So it's more like a Goldilocks scenario again, which is good. So market participants expecting this time around a slight dip down to 52.5 from 53.8 that was printed in the previous month of May. So any numbers that is still above 50 is still showing signs of an expansion. But there's one particular wild card that we got to take note of over here is within the subcomponent of the services PMI, there's actually services prices paid. So this services prices paid has been related to inflationary pressure on one conduit of the story because it actually surveyed the purchasers manager in the services industry. How are they expecting in terms of the cost of goods in doing business? So this time around, the services prices still continue to hover rather on the high side in the last few months, around 56 to 58. So last month, it came in at 58.1. It's rather of the high side. And market expecting now is only a slight dip to 57.8. So if the services prices paid starts to come in more than what's expected, let's say coming at 60 level, that could actually pointing signs to some part of the US economy is still facing that services inflation that is rather elevated. And do not forget the fact that the Federal Reserve officials, some of them also caution about this still sticky services component inflation that are still preventing them to be pretty much aggressive in enacting their first interest rate cut. So something to keep a close eye watch to on this coming Wednesday, both on the services PMI data, the main data, and as well as subcomponent, which is the ISM services prices paid data as well.
Okay, Kelvin, thank you very much. Very interesting. We'll get your thoughts next Monday. Thanks for joining us.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.